Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My pleasure as always. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. You've been listening already. We consider that a sign of high intelligence. Doug Stives is our guest, our good friend, and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's a partner and tax department director at Kirchen and Company. I think that's the current name. They changed it fairly recently. But I think he's got a couple of other assignments he's maybe even a little more proud of these days. Doug Stives, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Nice to be with you.
Good to have you back. Now, it's Kirchen and Company,
well,
right?
It's called the Kirchen Group.
That's right. We got that name change, and I think maybe right. That didn't get transferred. Now, but tell us about what you're doing with the kids these days.
Well, I'm 62 years old, and the accounting business is stressful and was getting to me a bit. So 2 years ago, I did accept a full-time faculty position at Monmouth University here in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And, Jim, I'm having more fun than I've had in a long time.
Well, I know, and you've been having a lot of fun. What do you you got all these unmolded clay in front of you, right? Where you're just molding these young people into perfect Stepford Dugs, right?
No, it's the other way around. They're molding me into somebody that's trying to in a 62-year-old body trying to be about 25.
Doug, you're like me. This isn't your first goat roping. You've been around a while like me. You got almost as much gray hair as I do. As you look across the economy, give us your thoughts.
I think we're in for a long, long downtrend like none of us have ever seen. For my students, it's kind of interesting because they've never seen even a downturn in the economy.
Right.
And this is worse than that. I think there'll be a new word before we're done. There were recessions. You and I remember dozens of them.
Yeah.
Some that nobody ever took a deep breath. But then there was the depression. But this is new. And we could talk about who we like in Washington and who we despise and so forth. But nobody has the answer.
We are experiencing. Regardless of what you call it, some things that are happening are unprecedented, aren't they?
Absolutely. I mean, there's an awful lot of very smart people and some of your friends and contacts and some of my very successful clients who, like me, held into the stock market, and we've lost more than half of what we had. 10, 20%, 30%, but now we're going towards 60%, and there's just no reason for it to recover. I'm certainly not putting any new money into the market, but I've really been hit, and thank God I do have this second job at this point that I hopefully will be able to do for quite a while, because my retirement fund has just been torn apart.
Well, and that's happened across the way. A lot of people are experiencing that. A lot of retirees, a lot of people who wanted to retire now, a lot of business owners are facing something very similar to this. So Doug, what can we learn from all this? From a financial management standpoint, what can we learn from what's happening right now?
Three things. Be patient. Americans as a whole are very impatient people. People are still saying, oh, well, it's going to be recovery this year. No, there's not going to be. It's not going to be. I mean,
even if it is, it won't feel like it.
No, exactly. And
it'll just be a technical term.
And the other thing is, some people hate me for this. Got to work harder. There was somebody sent me an email last night that I was laughing at. I'll send it to you at some point. That it's a little rude, but that's besides the point. People have gotten used to working for someone else and not working very hard and having all kinds of benefits.
Right.
And those days are over. You and I, we're not looking for sympathy for some people that are putting up with us this morning. Most of our listeners work as hard as we do, but there are just millions of people out there. And I'll give you my model. And go down to Washington, D.C., at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the place is dead because everybody's home.
Yeah.
They're done. Or go to any state capital. There's no lights on at night. There's nobody there working.
Right, right.
And yet those people, Jim, they're not worried about their pension.
Well, exactly. And my day is like most small business owners. It's at least a 12-hour day. You know, more and more of us aren't going to lunch. You know, we're staying with it. We're hunkering down. We're making sure. One of the things that I want to run by you, Doug, is something I've been talking about for some time right now, and I call it the 2009 Small Business Survival Attitude. And that attitude is, in 2009, I'm going to win by surviving. What do you think about that?
Well, you don't have any choice. I mean, you have to have that attitude.
Well, no, you can fail.
Well, sure, and a lot of people will, and I have clients who will not make it through the year. And, you know, go back to my last comment. There are probably some people out there that just kind of sighed when I said work harder. There are millions and millions of people who would love to work harder if they had something that people would buy from them or services mm-hmm. that they could market.
Right.
Not so easy.
Hold on to that thought. I want to come back to that in just a second and talk. When we come back, I want to talk about how things are being reordered and how we need to look at the things that we do and the things that we have, the things we sell, the things we buy. And if there is a new order of things, 20 till right back with our good friend Doug Stives. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. My blog is jimsblog.biz. My knowledge base is askjim.biz. But if you'll just go to smallbusinessadvocate.com, you can get to all of those right there, including the website, including the archives, articles, interviews that I've done with our Brain Trust members over the years, thousands of those articles that I or my Brain Trust members have written. You got 5 seconds, you got 15 minutes. We got something for you everywhere in between that you can read, you can listen to. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And by the way, my blog post today, I encourage you to check it out because it's titled The Truth About Taxing Those Wealthy Small Business Owners. And be sure to leave a comment. I think you'll find it interesting. Doug Stives is our guest. He's a consulting tax partner, I think, at the Kirchen Group. He's a professor of accounting at Monmouth University. Is that the title?
That's true.
Still doing a lot of work with the AICPA, teaching CPAs across the country on continuing education. A very vital individual, ladies and gentlemen, a very important individual in the fabric of our nation. Doug, I was talking as we went to the break about things are being reordered. Values of things are being redefined, it seems to me. Prices, I think there is some deflation involved. Deflation is the incorrect technical term. Maybe disinflation is a better technical term. But regardless, I think things are being reordered in 2009. What do you think?
Oh, as we talked about before the break, we've never experienced what we're going through, and we're going to be writing all the new rules. At school, we talk about the textbooks. Like, for example, our finance textbooks, Jim, they're worthless. Mm-hmm. We just basically threw them out.
Why is that?
Well, because, just for example, there's sections in there about investment bankers. There are no more investment bankers.
Yeah, that's right.
They're finished.
Yep.
You know, the whole concept of hedge funds, that's pretty much over. Of course, those guys are still paying 15% on their income when you and I are paying more than two times that, but that's another story. I was talking to you during the break, Jim, is my graduates in accounting. For the last several years, if you had an accounting degree from even a mediocre school, you got a job.
Mm-hmm.
The big CPA firms and all the smaller firms were fighting over you. People like the IRS couldn't get people with accounting degrees because it wouldn't work for them. This year, I have 43 kids graduating in accounting at Monmouth, you know, accounting majors that are finishing up. And right now, about 40% of them do not have a job offer.
They, wow.
You know, some will get jobs. I'm again placing two of them with the Internal Revenue Service, which I'm delighted
mm-hmm.
about, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a huge number of them that are, you know, just, and some of them feel they're kind of privileged. Well, you know, I have an accounting major. The world's going to fight over me. Not this year.
Right. Well, and it's happening, the same thing's happening in our businesses. Our customers are asking us, there's pressure on the prices of our goods and services. We're doing the same thing to our vendors. So there's a reordering of things. What do you think about, are we going to learn anything in 2009 that's going to benefit us in 2010?
Sure. We're going to learn how to live on less. I mean, what you just talked about. We're going to learn to think before we just jump into something. I mean, I'll be honest with you, right now, I'm home and I'm looking out at my driveway. I got a couple of old cars. It's a great time to buy a car.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get tremendous discounts,
right,
more than $10,000 off on an average price car. But I'm thinking, but should I take that money out of my beleaguered stock portfolio? No, I'm not going to spend
or decrease your cash flow by the amount of the payment or whatever.
Right. Yeah. But just to experiment, one of the things I have on the agenda for this weekend, I'm going to visit a couple of car dealers. And if you've ridden by some of them lately, man, they are starving. They're in bad shape.
Yep.
And that's the best example I have of it trickling down. If you're a mechanic there, you're in trouble. If you're in the parts department, you're in trouble. If you're a supplier to that car dealer, not just the automakers, but right on down across the board, the guy that sweeps the floor, there's nothing to sweep because there's nobody there.
What about, what is the, one of the things that I've been critical about, Doug, of the government is how little that the programs they've been developing for the economy have been targeted for small business. But I have been fair in saying that there have been some things like loss carry back extensions and a few other things that have been helpful to small business. And I'd like for you to talk to us about some of those.
Yeah, just the one you just mentioned is if you have a loss, if you had a business loss in 2008, instead of being able to carry that back only against 2 years, you can go back to as many as 5 years at this point. We don't have time to do the math.
So you might actually get a refund then.
Absolutely. They don't pay interest on those kind of refunds, but you get the money to make your cash flow a little bit smoother.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the biggest thing that they just extended, it was around for 2008, and they've extended it for 2009, and my guess is it'll be extended again, is anything you buy. There are some, no real estate, but if you buy computers or office equipment, and in some cases vehicles, with some limitations there, you can essentially deduct the entire cost, up to $250,000, that is, in 1 year.
Section 179, direct expensing.
Well, you're good. You just passed my midterm quiz here. And the other thing is the 50% first-year depreciation, which is just an enhancement of that. So if somebody goes and buys a $50,000 piece of equipment and writes the whole thing off in 1 year, that's assuming you have profit. I mean, I've told some of my clients about
that. See, that's the thing, Doug. I'm not giving the administration and the Congress any credit for that. Number one, we already had that. Number two, that's not as big of a, you know, don't give me something I can't use.
Right.
Most small business owners, that's not a big deal to most small business owners.
Right. And go back to, we mentioned at the top of our list here is the net operating loss. Somebody says, well, I haven't made money in 5 years.
Yeah.
So it is frustrating, and they're not helping us.
But the loss carryback is good. The direct expensing thing is a red herring. It's not. It's good. We need it, but it's not. You didn't give me anything I didn't already have, and it's not that big a deal. I'm gonna get Doug to see if he can dig out some more things that you and I need to know about in our tax planning. It's 10 till right back after these messages. I'm Jim Blasingame. Little Bobby Darin bringing us back, one of my favorites from the Wayback Machine. Welcome back. It's 7 till the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. This month, I don't want the hour to end, folks. I love this so much. I have so much fun doing this. I just don't want it to end, but it does. The clock ticks. It waits on no man, including me. Doug Stives is our guest, our good friend. And Doug, now, if we wanted to contact you, if we wanted to find out more about Professor Douglas Stives, how would we do that?
I'll never tell. Our firm website is the best spot. It's Kurchin, CURCHIN.com.
And what about Monmouth's website? What if I've got somebody listening who's got a kid wanting to become an accountant? They need to go to your school.
Absolutely. We'll take their money.
University, Monmouth.edu, or what is it?
Monmouth, M-O-N-M-O-U-T-H.
Monmouth.edu. And I bet if you put a / accounting, you'll find Doug's department there somewhere.
You dig down through there. Yep, we just revised our accounting department website.
And is that in Red Bank as well, Red Bank, New Jersey?
It's a neighboring town known as West Long Branch. It's right on the water, right on the Atlantic Ocean.
And over there in the Garden State of New Jersey. Doug, what are some other things? One thing I think we should point out with our tax planning, that in just a week or so, we got to get in at least our extension for our corporate filings, right?
Yes, March 15th.
Yeah, that's for the corporate returns or extensions, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I will tell you, the the corporations that we represent, we rarely, if ever, actually file their tax returns on March 15th.
Yep.
And get a six-month extension to September 15th.
Now, there's something a little different this year. We do our personal extensions are filing on April 15th, but isn't there something different about the extension this year?
Well, the partnerships is what you're thinking of. The individual extension and the corporate extensions haven't changed. The corps we just talked about, you can extend from March to September 15th. Individuals, yes, we can still go out to October 15th, no change. But partnerships, and remember, if you're an LLC, like my accounting firm is an LLC, limited liability company, we file a partnership tax return. Those are due April 15th, but the extension for those is only for 5 months. It will expire on September 15th.
And that's different this year, and that's to make sure that everybody's K-1s are ready for the personal filings on October 15th.
Well, that's the hope. As a tax preparer, it's frustrating when you're waiting for those final last K-1s literally on the 15th of October. And so what Treasury, it has nothing to do with Congress. This is just the Internal Revenue Service, the Department of Treasury, that said, well, let's move those extended due dates up a month so the practitioners will be able to get the K-1s and get the darn returns filed. There's already a bunch of noise. They're talking about pushing it back to October 1st, Jim, but we'll see what happens.
Right. So, so folks, be sure to make a note of that now. You got March 15th and April 15th. And don't worry, file the extension. Don't beat yourself up.
Oh, hang on to this one. If you file a partnership return late, if you don't extend, partnerships or LLCs filing as partnerships, what I'm talking about, if you do not file an extension on April 15th or you do not get the return in by September 15th, the penalty is $86 per partner per month up to 12 months.
Wow.
That's $1,000 if you're a year late for if you have
right.
partners cost you 10 grand in penalties. Brutal.
Right. They are. All right. What else do we need to know?
Well, the other thing we didn't talk about is some of the incentives, some of the stimulus. I was going to ask when we started if you felt stimulated yet. But
I'm not feeling very stimulated. Kind of numb right now.
I mean, they're telling people, one of my kids came home and said, Dad, what's this about? I'm going to get $14 a week more. I said, well, I said, is that going to change your lifestyle? She said, well, no, they just gave me she just took a 4% cut at work.
Yeah, right. Hold me back, $14.
Yeah, and the government just gave her a $400 tax reduction, which is, you know, we shouldn't laugh at it, but it's not going to change your lifestyle.
No, exactly.
You and I don't get anything.
Oh, no. Small business owners are going to get their taxes increased, most of them. Many of them are, I should say. What about the housing thing, the new stimulus package? Can you clear some of that up? Are people going to get any kind of assistance if they buy a house?
Yeah, they are. My daughter, who's 27 years old, she works for a school district up in Massachusetts. She makes less than $75,000 as a single person. If you're married, you make less than $150,000. And you buy a house, they call it the first-time home buyer, but it's if you haven't bought a house within 3 years.
Okay.
So if you're in a house, you've been there at least 3 years, and you go buy a new one, and your income is below the $75,000 single 150 joint, you get a $7,500 credit is what it is. It
tax credit, money back.
Yeah, well, exactly.
If you paid it.
Yeah, if you closed on a house between April 9th and December 31st of last year, 2008, you get the credit, but then here's the problem. You have to pay it back.
Huh.
But now for 2009, they changed that.
Yeah.
My daughter buys a house, say, next month. She'll get $7,500. She'll get to keep it.
And what if she didn't pay $7,500? Can they go back into past years?
Nope. The purchase has to be between January 1st and December 1st of 2009 to get that for this
All
account.
Right. Hey, thanks, Doug, for being here. Good job today, as
nice
always.
To be with you.
Doug Stires, ladies and gentlemen. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.